With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. Two residents of a duplex need to find a new place to live after a fire struck the building in Rhinelander last night. The Rhinelander Fire Department got word of a structure fire at 11:29 p.m. at 529 Maple Street. Flames were showing on the side of the building when fire crews arrived. One of the tenants of the duplex had been able to get out but had to be treated for smoke inhalation at the scene. The other was not at home and was accounted for with the help of Rhinelander police. The Rhinelander Fire Department got assistance from departments in Crescent, Newbold, and Pine Lake in putting out the fire. The cause of the fire hasn't been determined yet. When you think of light pollution, bird migration, or insect activity may be the first impacts that come to mind, but creatures beneath the water are affected too. WXPR's Katie Thorson spoke with the head of UW Trout Lake Station about small crustaceans that depend on the dark.
While doing PhD research off the coast of Belize, Gretchen Garish was introduced to bioluminescent ostracods.
Sometimes they're referred to as sea fireflies, and they're tiny, about the size of a sesame seed. And these small crustaceans have a really amazing mating display. Males in the system will do a specific courtship call where they flash their lights. They'll either put out different durations of light. Some of them swim upwards, some swim downwards, some swim sideways. And these unique message systems then act to attract the females.
This specific mating behavior is only found in the warm waters of the Caribbean. Artificial light can disrupt that behavior. Now, as director of UW-Madison's Trout Lake Station, Garish can see that artificial light disruption echoed in aquatic species in the Northwoods.
Light can disrupt the life cycle and behavior of this cool and unique organism. Light in our immediate water bodies can also affect the plankton movement and the fish feeding behaviors around our docks.
Garish is this month's Science on Tap Minocqua speaker. She'll be talking about the bioluminescent ostracods, the impact of artificial light, and how it can drive changes in the environment.
I hope that they walk away with awe as they learn about one of the coolest phenomena that I have ever seen in the natural world. Two, they think about evolution and how all these organisms have kind of converged on using signals from the moon and the sun and light itself, light that they produce or light that they perceive for their life and success. And finally, maybe look at the lights around them in a slightly different way.
Science on Tap is this Thursday at 6:30 at Rocky Reef Brewery in Woodruff. It's also available to live stream. We have a link at WXPR.org. Katie Thorson, WXPR News.
Once the flakes start to fly, we depend on snowplows to make sure roads are cleared for travel. Make sure you're giving them plenty of space to clean off our roadways and allow yourself extra time wherever you're going. Plow drivers need a large truck with a big blade to help keep the roads clear, so you need to give them some space. Sergeant Ray Sturtz is with the Wisconsin State Patrol.
You're going to want to slow down and give them a lot of room, extra room, so that you're not going to be whited out by the snow coming up and over their blades or their plows. And then you're going to need to leave. If you're on, say, on the interstate, you're going to need to leave 200 feet of distance between you and the plow so you can safely stop if necessary, or if the plow slows down.
Over the years, Wisconsin has seen snowplow accidents, so take your time and make good decisions around these large machines. If you have to travel in bad weather, you can head to 511wi.gov to find the latest road conditions. This story is courtesy of WAOW Television. Soil health from nearby farmland may impact whether you live in a flood-prone area. Ag Voices in Wisconsin say government-funded conservation programs are effective in mitigating those risks and offsetting disaster expenses. Mike Moen reports.
Congress will soon renew debate over long-term farm bill funding, including incentives for producers to adopt practices like no-till farming, which allow the soil to hold more water after heavy rain. Julio Badinsky is a consultant for the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute and says this isn't just an issue for farmers and policymakers. She says taxpayer dollars come into play when these programs are underfunded.
Some of the costs that they pay because of the lack of investment in soil health practices, especially municipalities, rural communities, even state budgets, when they're looking at costs to repair flooding damages.
Her research shows that between 2009 and 2019, Wisconsin suffered nearly $36 million in flood damage. On the flip side, she says soil health investment and improved water quality pay off for communities, such as boosting home values along watersheds. These discussions also follow recent conservation funding boosts from the Inflation Reduction Act, with advocates noting they're poised to help more rural areas. South Central Wisconsin farmer Ron Shep is among those who have tapped into IRA incentives this year through the Federal Conservation Stewardship Program. He's adding to the soil health practices he's carried out over the years, providing benefits that reach beyond his property.
We farm right on Lake Wisconsin, and so there's less runoff, and so that definitely helps the neighbors by keeping a cleaner Lake Wisconsin.
He also contends that making these incentives more accessible could place less stress on disaster aid programs for farmers. Congress has until next fall to adopt a new farm bill after extending the recent version for another year. While many programs have bipartisan support, it's unclear how funding disagreements and the 2024 election will influence reauthorization. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
The Republican head of the Wisconsin Senate says he wants to see pay raises approved for universities of Wisconsin employees. That stance put Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu at odds Monday with the GOP leader of the state assembly, Robin Voss. In October, Voss refused to approve pay raises for UW employees, saying he wants that school system to eliminate its diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. LeMahieu said Monday he is negotiating with Voss and hopes to see pay raises approved soon. The fight over DEI initiatives reflects a broader cultural battle playing out in several states over the use of diversity and inclusion factors in making admissions and employment decisions at public colleges and universities. For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.